Welcome to WellPod, an EJG created Podco podcast aiming to raise awareness, reduce the stigma, and make positive change for mental and physical health in regional and rural Australia. Please know that some episodes will discuss mental illness, suicide, and potentially other topics that people may find triggering. It's Mental Health Week here in WA, and I was undecided on how I was going to market on the podcast. I have a brainstorm of all these things that I want to talk about using this platform, and through searching that, I found my answer. How are farmers feeling mentally and physically given the current outlook of agriculture? There is so much going on in ag right now. Aboriginal cultural heritage laws, the banning of live export, dry weather conditions, falling sheep prices, declining export values, on top of inflation and the cost of living that is impacting every person in Australia. So how is the agricultural industry feeling? I asked a couple of farmers that exact question. How are you feeling mentally and physically given the current outlook of agriculture? Unfortunately, the answers didn't vary too much, but I want to share them with you anyway. You will probably not be surprised to know that none of them wanted me to mention their names, and that's fine. The first farmer I talked to is a third generation sheep farmer from the Central Wheat Belt, currently farming with his two sons. We talked mostly about the declining sheep prices, the upcoming live export ban, and what that meant for his farming business. He told me that he was feeling the pressure more than his sons. They hadn't seen the industry like this before, so they didn't know just how bad it could get. Recently, he sold 350 sheep for just $1 each. That was all he could get. He said his heart plummeted when he heard the price and his eyes closed in disbelief. Mentally, he said some days are a struggle, like the days when he has to consider digging a large hole and shooting some of his sheep because it's too expensive to run them anymore. He said he's angry. He feels angry a lot of the time. He's angry that the government won't do more to support the ag industry. He's angry that he cops abuse from the people who don't understand live export. He's angry that there may not be a farm left for him to pass on to his sons. He's just angry. Farmer number two kindly offered me much insight into his personal life. On the farm, it's just him and his dog, with the occasional seasonal worker. His wife died of cancer a couple of years ago, and his daughter is living her life overseas. He tells me that every now and again his brother comes out to stay and help out, but he has his own business, his own family, his own life. He told me about the isolation. He has his mates in town that he goes to the pub with, but more often than not, it's just him and his faithful Kelpie. He's lonely. The loneliness eats away at him. He tells me that one day he'll pass and no one will know for days. He continues on that he has considered selling the farm, but where would he go? He has ever only known the farm, this lifestyle. He says he wouldn't know what to do with himself. When I ask about workers, he says he's considered taking on someone to help around the farm and to be there in general. He has, and he's tried a couple of them out, but no one seems to stick. They never last too long, he tells me. No one wants to work like they used to. During seeding, he had two backpackers, only found at the last minute. For harvest, he has another two lined up, but told me they were bloody hard to find. Physically, he's tired, he's exhausted, but he tells me he will never back down no matter what life throws at him. The third farmer I spoke to is a broadacre cropping farmer from out east of the Wheat Belt. Been doing this for years, he tells me when I ask him how long he's been farming. You can hear the smile in his voice as he tells me about the previous 2 years and how good they were. Best we've ever had, he remarks. You can hear that smile fall when I ask him what the situation is looking like for this harvest. He tells me that he's only seen about 170 mil of rain this year, a far cry from the average of 300 mil and the 330 mil he'd seen this time last year. We won't be hitting any records this year, that's for sure, he tells me. When I ask how he's doing mentally, I hear him sigh. Not many people ask that anymore, do they? He starts. He continues to tell me that he was diagnosed with depression a couple of years ago, and it has been up and down ever since. They suggested medication at one point, but he brushed the idea away swiftly. There was a pause when I asked him how he felt about the diagnosis at the time. I remember crossing my arms and grumbling at the doctor. I hadn't gone in there about my head. I'd gone in there about my bloody chest, and I was coming out with a referral to a psychologist. Was he going to fix my chest? Before I even asked the question, I'd already guessed the answer. Did you ever go to see that psychologist? I asked. Abso-bloody-lutely not. Do they think I have the time to jump in the car and drive 3 hours to the city to sit and talk? The farm won't run itself. My final chat was with a farmer who began by thanking me for this project. He told me it was much needed and it was good to see someone stepping up and taking action, even if he was too scared to take action himself. I asked him what he meant by that, being too scared to take action. Too stuck in his ways, he told me, that he had built up this persona and the belief in himself that he is unbreakable, that he is strong, that he is the family rock, and that there is just no way he could break to be that publicly vulnerable. I asked him how the current agricultural industry was affecting his mental health. He laughed and called it a bloody shit show. It's just one thing after another at the moment, isn't it? He comments. He tells me he was quite stressed about the Aboriginal cultural heritage laws for a while there, and that really took a toll on him. He tells me he won't be fully satisfied until the laws are officially overturned, but who knows when that will be. He tells me that while the live export ban won't directly affect his business, he's watching all his mates suffer. They won't admit it out loud, but you can tell it's taking its toll on them. What are they going to do with their sheep? They don't want to shoot them, but they might just have to, he tells me. Do you and your mates talk about your mental health? I asked him, and he laughs slightly. He admits that it takes a couple of beers at the local to get a conversation like that flowing. But after the suicide of one of their friend group, they have realised how important it is to check in with each other. We all had our arms around each other at his funeral. We know what it feels like to lose someone who let it all get a bit too much. We don't want that to happen again, he says. After my final chat, I had that perspective of 4 male farmers, the stereotype, if you will. But what about the ladies? How are they feeling mentally and physically? My real final chat, farmer number 5, was a local woman who kindly gave me a couple of minutes of her time to chat, knowing how important this project is. She laughed when I called her a farmer. People usually just refer to me as the farmer's wife, but I know how much she does on the farm, how much hard work she does. It was only right to call her a farmer. I wanted to get 2 sides of her story. What's it like for her as a farmer, but also as the wife of a farmer watching him struggle? When I told her this, she replied quickly, "It's fucking hard." She lives on the family farm of her husband's family. They've been together since they were teenagers and they have 3 children together. Their oldest is already doing a lot of work on the farm. She tells me that this does help alleviate some of the pressure on her and her husband, but it also means he is feeling the consequences of the season. We haven't been hit too hard yet, but we know that this year is not going to be as great as the past couple have been. She tells me that her son has really only known those 2 great seasons, so he's going to be hit hard by the result of this season. There have been a lot of late night conversations between me and my husband. They chat about financials, about the forecast of the year, about the fact there is just no rain on the horizon. They talk about the future. Sometimes her husband gets angry and remarks that it's time to throw it all in, but she knows it won't happen. I think we're all just mentally and physically exhausted. The whole industry, she starts. It's one thing after another. The government trying to tell us what we can do and what we can't do with our own land. Them taking away an important industry like live export, everything costing so fucking much money. It's a lot for everyone, I think. Let me leave you with this. No matter how strong you think you are, no matter how strong other people think you are, there is no shame in reaching out for help. There is no shame in taking a couple of hours away from the farm in order to talk to someone. There is no shame in struggle. Please, if you need it, seek help before it is too late. Thank you for listening to this episode of Well Pod for the Well in the Wheat Belt Project. Well Pod is all about rural and regional mental and physical health in Australia. This is an EJG Creative Podco podcast.